I want to be in community with you, because we're in this together, because we are here fighting, because God has called us higher. And he has called us to something that takes so much more than we have to offer alone.
You got porn in your pocket, meaning anywhere, anytime, all day long.
And Job said, I've made a covenant with mine eyes.
What do you have to do? What lengths do you have to go to? Whatever it is, get it out of your life. Stop it.
You fight it as though your very life were threatened, which it is.
But it's not about fighting by yourself. It's about fighting with brothers who are right there with you. And I am one of them. We are in this together because this is Fight Club.
Well, I hope this isn't copyright, but A Purpose-Driven Life, Day 35, has a quote that convicted me today, and I wanted to share it. If all people see are your strengths, they get discouraged and think, well, good for them, but I'll never be able to do that. But when they see God using you in spite of your weaknesses, it encourages them to think, maybe God can use me. Our strengths create competition, but our weaknesses create community. At some point in your life, you must decide whether you want to impress people or to influence people. If I'm honest, I have been living a lie for the last few weeks. And reading that, I've been a little convicted of it recently in the last few days. But reading that, especially tonight, I was very convicted of it. And I just want to come on here and be honest. Because something that I said at the very beginning of this is a forum for honesty. And I always want to be honest. And I haven't been that recently. Because I've been recording these podcasts and, you know, preaching one thing, and then as soon as I turn the camera off, I've been doing another. And there's really no other way to say it. And I'm ashamed to be here saying this. But I've been living in failure for the last several weeks. I don't even know how long. That's how bad that it has gotten. I would be sitting here preaching about eye discipline or thought discipline or environment discipline and not doing it all. And most egregiously, I've been sitting here talking about routine and absolutely ignoring, purposefully running away from it because I didn't want to do it. And I'm done hiding. I'm done doing that. I need to be vulnerable because this is what Fight Club is all about. It's about brothers being vulnerable with each other, not hiding behind a mask, not keeping the things in secret, not avoiding vulnerability. And so it is my obligation to come here and just be honest to you. And so for one, I need to apologize. Brother, I'm sorry. I have failed you because I have chosen my own selfish desires and my own pleasure over a brotherhood that we're trying to build here. And it's been wrong. It's been wrong, and I'm ashamed of it. And I'm ashamed at how long it has taken me to get here. I've been checking in with my Fight Club. I've been, you know, texting my brothers that I have a personal relationship with, and I've been honest about my failure with them. But I've hidden. I've hidden from you. I've hidden from this. I've hidden from true vulnerability. I've hidden from the very things that I've been preaching. And I talked with my parents about it, and the first thing that they encouraged me to do was to do this. They said, could you go on and record a podcast about it right now? And I said yes, out of sheer arrogance. And I was wrong. Because even as I was sitting there reading that devotional today, thinking I should probably go to bed soon, it hit me like, no, you need to get on and record a podcast. And man, I did not want to do that. And I don't want to be doing this right now. But you are only as strong as you are honest. And so if I want to have any chance at victory, I have to be honest. And I have to be honest in every form. I have to be honest in every aspect. I have to be honest with you. And so I need to just say it straight. I have been living in failure. I have failed again and again and again. I have turned back to old habits. I have done things I am ashamed to say that I've done. I've seen things I wish I could erase from my mind. I have chosen failure time and time again since starting this podcast. And that is wrong. And you know, for the past couple of weeks, I've really been wrestling with why. You know, I feel like I've maybe gotten a little arrogant with this. Of every time that I've failed, that I've gotten good at like, okay, no, I know what that one was. Oh, that one was insecurity. Oh, that one was stress. Oh, that one was anxiety. Oh, that one was, you know, I let bad things into my environment. I felt like I'd gotten a really strong grasp on why I'm failing. And this time around, the last several times that I've failed, I've been sitting there baffled at how I got there again. And I felt like I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't figure out why. I didn't understand what was going wrong. I didn't know what to do. And then it finally hit me a couple nights ago. I don't remember when my last failure was, but recently. And I was just laying there and I was like, how ignorant and arrogant can you be? You know exactly what's going on here. You know
what to do. You just recorded 5 or 6 podcasts on the very first steps you need to take, and you're taking none of them. You know what to do, but you refuse to act. This has been my life for the last several weeks. I've known what I need to do, and I've refused to act. And part of it, to be completely honest and upfront with you, is because the last time that I really broke free, I was doing amazing. I was on day 70 or something like that. I was doing great, feeling untouchable, and all of a sudden, I burned out. A massive stressor in my life came up. I had one of the worst weeks of my life. And almost at the finish line of that week, when everything was going to be just okay, I just capitulated. And I burned out, not from avoiding lust, not from any of that, but from my routine, from my disciplines, from all of the things that I talk about in this podcast and everything that I've been preaching. I just burned out from it. And I was jaded and I was pissed. And honestly, I was terrified that I didn't actually know what the answer was. I was terrified that all of this has been a lie and that God hasn't helped me to discover the roots of all of this and that I was going to deal with this for the rest of my life. And I was really, really afraid that if I tried again and if I failed again, then that would be the final nail in the coffin and it would be it. It would be over and I would just be done. And it would be like, wow, I'm never gonna be free of this. And that scared me. I was terrified of that fact. And so my solution was to hide from it and to say, okay, well, I can't fail at this strategy. I can't fail at everything that we're talking about here if I never attempt it. And what a stupid idea that was, because look at where it led me. I'm right back in failure again and again and again, you know, getting shorter intervals every time. First, it was once every 2 weeks, then once every week, then once every couple of days. And it's a spiral. And I was falling back into things that I said I would never do again. And like, it's not surprising. Of course, this is where I'm at. This is what happens when you avoid the problem instead of facing it. Instead of standing up and saying, no, I know what the answer is. I know what I need to do. I just need to execute. I need to do what I need to. I need to do what God calls me to do. I need to do what the Bible outlines. I need to just make the next right decision. And I refused to do that. I knew the answers, but I refused to act. So I just want to read you the check-in that I wrote in another attempt to be fully honest and upfront with you. This is what I wrote to my close brothers in this fight. Not the night I failed, but the morning after I failed. I said, feeling optimistic today. Been a rough weekend by my own doing, but I'm encouraged with where I currently stand. I failed miserably yesterday. Didn't even want to. Got bored and just chose it. Really just had no drive lately. I find myself thinking, why not? Far more frequently than I think to fight. After failing, I got up, went for a run, cleaned my house, and set out a plan for today. Really set me up well. I know what I'm missing. I just refuse to execute. So today, I'm going to stop letting myself get away with it. I'm going back to what has worked, which is a solid routine as a foundation for what really wins victories and freedom. Here's the plan. Up by 7:30 every day. Read a day of the Bible in a year reading plan. Check in. 10 pages of a spiritually edifying book. 100 push-ups. A nightly journal, either a physical or a video journal. 3 chapters of the New Testament every night, and an intentional planning of my day every single evening. There is something about doing the little things right every day that does wonders. In pursuit of that, I'm going back to my previous content restrictions. No entertainment on my phone or laptop, TV only. Only sports and sermons unless I'm with friends. I need to slow down in this area of life, and I'm always in a better place when I cut that stuff out. It's so crazy how, like, reading that is like, that's everything that we've talked about for the last, you know, 6 topics or whatever. And I, like, as I was reading that or writing that, I was like, oh my gosh, this is just like a moment of inspiration. Like, no, these are answers that you know. These are solutions that are clear. These are solutions that are obvious in neuroscience, in the Bible, in history, in the friends around me, in the people I know who have broken free. These aren't new things. These aren't new things to me. These aren't new things to the world. These aren't new things to addiction or to scripture or to Jesus or to anything. These are old truths that I have run from consistently because I didn't want victory. It was that simple. I wanted to choose failure partially to shield myself from what if it isn't the answer? From what if all this has been a lie? From what if the Bible is not telling me actually how to break free? From what if Jesus doesn't actually give me the power that he says that he did? What if Jesus' sacrifice on the cross didn't actually set me free from this? All of these fears, all of these lies, all of these insecurities have kept me from doing what I know I need to do. And it's been the enemy's most effective weapon in my life. He has completely controlled me in this. He has kept me from ever taking the first step because he's given me a telescope and he's saying, what happens when you get there? Or what happens if this happens 70 days from now, 90 days from now, 2 years from now? What if you're married 5 years from now? And even if you did break free today, in 5 years from now, you're married and all of a sudden a really stressful event happens and you find yourself falling right back into sin. What happens then? If it's inevitable, then why even try? These are all of the lies that I was buying wholesale. Everything that the enemy was selling, I was buying because honestly, I wanted to. It's comfortable. I mean, one of the things I compared this to with one of my close friends is it's like when you watch a game show and you know, you get a prize and it's a great prize. Like, oh man, this rocks. I'm really excited about this. And the game show host is like, oh, but wait, if you choose to give that up, then you can look behind that next door, which might have a better prize. And that's kind of where I felt like I was at for the last few weeks of like, okay, I have this great thing. My life right now rocks. There's so many things about my life that are amazing. Like, I love it. It's comfortable. It's what I know. Nothing is really going wrong necessarily. I mean, sure, I deal with this addiction, but like, it still gives me pleasure in some ways. And so it's like, yeah, what's the problem? And then what God is doing is he's like, but if you give that up, then you have the opportunity for what I promise you in John 10:10, which is life and life to the full, a rich and satisfying life. And I'm sitting here staring at what I have right now. I'm like, but this is pretty good. I don't know. Do I really need that? Like, how much better could it really be? Life right now is pretty flipping awesome. Why would I give this up for maybe the chance at that? And again, those are just the lies that the enemy has been selling me and I've been believing entirely without ever questioning them. Because the truth is what I have now pales in comparison to what God is offering to me. What God promises to me is so much better than I could ask, think, or imagine. It is infinitely more than I could ever dream of or want. It is so much better for me than what I have right now. But for whatever reason, I could not get myself to believe that because I would not get myself to believe that. And, you know, I read this thing in another devotional earlier today, which is I thought was really interesting. And it says, I shrink back not because I don't care, but because I care too much and feel too small. I think one thing that I've been dealing with and why I haven't been able like to get myself to believe that what God has for me is better than what I have right now is because I'm afraid that I'm not worth it, or I'm afraid that it's not going to be what I hope it to be, or that I'm going to ruin it in some way, or any of these other things. And it's just terrified me, you know, and I've lived in fear for a long time, way longer than I've lived the past few weeks in failure. I think I've just been afraid of that very thing, you know, like shrinking back has been a theme throughout my life. And I'm ashamed of that. That's something that I've always tried to hide. But the people who know me closest and know me best know that that's absolutely a theme in my life is I shrink back from things. And I think it's true here. I've always wondered is it apathy? Like, is it because I don't care? Is it because, you know, like I'm too cool for school or something like that? Or you know, what is it? And in truth, it's because I care too much and I feel too small. I feel inadequate. I care so much that if I were to fail, it would crush me. It would leave me in a place of like, well, what's the point in anything? Am I good at anything? Am I worth anything? It would make me completely insecure and just throw me into a spiral that would just lead me to failure anyways. And so I would just live in that fear that I'm too small. I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not powerful enough. I'm not successful enough. I'm not, name it, every single thing. And that's caused me to just be like, well, it's easier to just protect my equities and hide where I'm at right now, right? You can't lose something. It's like if you're playing poker, you can't lose your whole hand if you never bet anything more than the big blind. Like if you never put down any chips and you have nothing to lose, but it's just eating at you constantly. It's just eating at you because, yeah, you never lose, but you never win. You never win. And that's how I feel like I've been living life. And that's a terrible way to live life. And it leaves me so easily discouraged if I'm always playing defense, if I'm always protecting myself and putting up the mask so no one can see the true me and I can never slip up or nothing can ever go wrong or anything like that, then what kind of life is that? One other thing that it said in this devotional here is like, if you want to impress people, which I think has always been a goal of mine, is, you know, like, I need to be impressive. I need to be better than everyone that I know. I need to be successful. I need to have this amount of money and have this, you know, whatever goal or success, whatever it is, I need to be able to get all these things and show off for everyone. But what he says in here in this devotional is, if you want to impress people, you do that from afar, right? You can be really impressive if you're really far away. But if you want to make an impact on people, if you want to do something that actually matters with your life, well, then you're going to have to get close, because that only happens in relationship. That only happens in true connection. But to get close, you risk people seeing your flaws, seeing your vulnerability, seeing where you're weak. And that's what I'm terrified of. I've lived my whole life thinking that I'm not weak. I've lived my whole life thinking that I need to be this perfect vision of what life is supposed to be as a Christian, of what life is supposed to be as a man, of what life is supposed to be as every single category. And I'm terrified of falling short, because I fall short in so many categories. There are so many things that I have utterly failed at in my life. And I've just hidden that. I've been like, ooh, no, one needs to know about that. No, we don't need to talk about that. No. I'll cover that up and point your direction over here so you don't see any of that. Or I won't take that risk, because if I fail, it will reveal to everyone what a fraud I am. And that's just not a good way to live life. It's not honest. It's not true. It's not vulnerable. It's not who I want to be. Because God doesn't call me to live a perfect life. God knows I'm not perfect. And if he's the judge of the universe, if he's the person that I have to stand to in the most important moment of my life, then why would I, and he knows the truth about me, then why would I care about what everyone else thinks? I mean, honestly, why would I care what you think? But the reason I care what you think, and I should care what you think, is because I want to be in community with you. Because we're in this together, because we are here fighting, because God has called us higher. And he has called us to something that takes so much more than we have to offer alone. And I've honestly tried to do this by myself. I have fought back against the Fight Club mentality about bringing brothers into this. And I've feigned honesty. I've feigned vulnerability. I've feigned being completely an open book and letting people see into my life and laying it out on the table. But that's not true. It's not true. I've lived a life of lies. Because I've covered up the things that are truly vulnerable. I've covered up the things that I'm actually terrified people might know about me. And when I do that, I don't just rob those people of the relationship that they deserve that will help them to have victory, but I've robbed myself. I robbed myself of the future that I deserve because of what God has purchased for me. And that's just depressing. That is depressing. Because it's taken me this long to get there. And honestly, part of me as I've been talking is like, why am I recording this right now? I'm just, who is this for? And I mean, hopefully it's for you. Hopefully it's to show you honesty will not kill you. Vulnerability will not hurt you. It's going to be painful. This right now saying all this to you is really painful. It's really hard to be totally honest. And there's even things now that I think I'm holding back that I don't fully know myself enough to know what I'm hiding and what I'm still protecting deep inside. But that's not where transformation comes from. That's not where freedom comes from. It comes from being completely open, not holding anything back, not trying to be someone that you're not, not trying to protect this deepest corner of your heart that you don't want anyone to know about. No, it's the same in fellowship as it is in faith. It's the same in letting your brothers see who you truly are as it is in letting God into your house, into the whole house, into your whole heart, not withholding any corners, not withholding any rooms, not keeping anything locked, but letting God completely in, letting the Holy Spirit do what he needs to do inside of you. But it requires you to be completely honest with yourself, completely honest with God, and completely honest with others. So that's just what I'm trying to do here, is just be honest with you, because I haven't been, and that's wrong. And I apologize for putting up this facade that I am, you know, this strong fighter or someone that can fight through this and have victory and is doing everything right and never fails and never stumbles and never makes any mistakes and knows all the answers. It's not true. I don't. But I am willing to be fully open and honest with you, even though a deeper part of myself fights against that. I'm willing to be fully open and honest with you because just maybe it'll help me and it'll help you have true victory. And if that's what it takes, if it takes me laying it all on the table and being completely open and honest and showing you my weaknesses, showing you my vulnerabilities, showing you where I am completely and utterly inadequate, if that's what it takes, then so be it. I'm ready to make that sacrifice because I think we all need to be. Because without that, what are we really doing here? Because if our goal is to have victory and to break free from this and to live the rest of our lives without having to deal with this anymore, then even that is prideful. And if the enemy can't get you with lust, he is more than willing to get you with pride. That is just fine with him because his only goal is to separate you from God. His only goal is to keep you from what God has for you. His only goal is to make you sin. And pride is as much a sin as lust is, as much as gluttony is, as much as jealousy is, as much as any of the other things are. Pride is just as bad. And if you are fighting this for pride, because I've been fighting this for pride, I'm not trying to preach at you right now. I've been fighting it from pride. And that is just as bad as living in lust. is thinking that I need to break free from this because I can't have weaknesses. Thinking that I need to break free from this because, man, I don't want anyone to know that I have a little problem, or I don't want anyone to know that I'm not perfect, or I need to be strong. I need to be untouchable. I need to be invincible. No, no, that's missing the point. You are flawed. You are weak. You are vulnerable. You cannot do this by yourself. This is the truth that I've been trying to pound into my own head for the last few weeks because I refuse to believe it. There's a part of me that's like, nah, I got this. I got this. Yeah, okay. You know, we'll follow the steps. We'll have a fight club. We'll be honest about certain things. And then the real fight, we'll take care of it ourselves. No, it doesn't work. Let me tell you from experience, it doesn't work. It will only end in more failure. It will only end in more pride, which then will lead to lust, which then will lead to shame, which then will lead to more pride, which then will lead to lust. It's a ruthless cycle. And I've been living it. And I'm sorry it's taken me this long to be honest about it, because I think you've been living it too. I think we all live it. I think it's the sneaky way that the enemy gets into our lives and latches us with lust. And see, he buries it with pride. Because, okay, you want to fight this? Honestly, it might be the other way around. It might be pride that he buries with lust, and we try and attack lust, and maybe you get lust out of there, but the pride's still there. The pride is still there. And pride is the first sin. I mean, that is what lust is at its core, even, is choosing your way over God's way. That's what every sin is. That's pride. It's thinking you know better than the all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing, the creator of the universe, thinking that you know better than him, that you know what you deserve. Anyways, that's where I've been at. Just to be totally honest with you, is I think I've been incredibly prideful, and it's been out of fear. Because that's what all pride comes from. It's fear, it's insecurity. It's not from a place of strength. It's a place of weakness. And until we can be fully honest and vulnerable with our weaknesses, we'll never have victory. So yeah, I wanted to come on and be totally honest about that, because as discouraging as it has been to know that I've been living a lie and that I haven't been honest with you, with myself, with my fight club, with everyone in my life, with God, is as discouraging as that's been, there is a simple truth that is so beautiful that God gives us in all of the Bible, really. But it's this simple. It's one choice can change your life. One choice. Because that's all it is. Pride and you know, being vulnerable and showing your weaknesses isn't like some massive thing that you have to overcome. No. It's just one choice to have one honest conversation, and then another, and then another, and then another, and to have honest conversations with others around you, to have honest conversations with God, but to have honest conversations with yourself, to truly look in the mirror and be like, all right, bro, what are we doing here? Are we being honest with ourselves? Are we actually asking the right questions? Are we letting the mask down? Are we taking down all of our defenses to truly understand what's going on here and what we're really struggling with? Because if we're not doing that, then why even bother? If you're not going to be honest with yourself, you're never going to find the root cause, and you're never going to be able to break free. And until you be honest with yourself, you can't be honest with others. And the Bible talks about this. If you confess your sins to one another, that's where healing comes from. And that's what we need to do, but you have to be totally honest. So I've beaten this horse all the way to death. And anyway, so the point that I was making is one choice can change your life. You can choose to be vulnerable today. You can choose to make a change today. You know, the biggest thing that I made a change in the last couple of days is to go back to my routine, is to do the simple things right. If you do the simple things right, everything is easy. And I know I'm on the front end of that, and who knows what this is going to look like. But if you just make that simple decision every single day, the rest will take care of itself. But if you've been living in failure like I have, don't be so arrogant to think God can't work through your weaknesses, because the truth is it is weakness. And there are things that you need to learn. There's things that I need to learn. There's things that God is trying to teach us. And until we can accept our weaknesses, I don't think we can ever, ever truly break free. So just to continue with my story with where I've been at recently, right after I failed, I mean, I mentioned it in the check-in, I went on a run. I hate running so much. It was 105 degrees when I went running. It sucked so much. And I just set out a goal for myself. And this has been a part of my story, is I would punish myself after failures all throughout my battle. And I realized that that was pride, and that was me trying to justify, my failure and make myself clean and do what God already did for me on the cross. And that was like pride and arrogance. That was a whole nother form of sin and all that. But there was a simple truth in it, is like scientifically doing something hard to start a transformation is really helpful, because an object in motion stays in motion. And so if I get myself to do something hard, I can kind of kick in that disciplined part of my brain, and I can literally strengthen the part of my brain that makes hard decisions. It does wonders. And so just that one little decision, like, it sucked. It was terrible. And the whole time I was like, am I punishing myself? Probably a little bit. But it did kind of set me up decently well, and I didn't let myself go overboard like I usually do, but it set me up decently well to just get into routine. And then I just did the simple things right. I read the routine to you. You know, I start waking up on time every day. I start reading the Bible every morning. I start doing my check-ins consistently. I start reading spiritually edifying things. I start, making sure my exercise is there, so I burn off all that pent-up energy. And then I go to bed on time. You know, all the simple things. Doing the simple things right does wonders. Discipline begets discipline. The more disciplined you are in other areas of your life, the more disciplined you are in this area of your life. I mean, yesterday I dealt with a ton of temptation, but it was easy to fight because I was already being disciplined, because I was already in the Word, because I was already waking up on time and knowing I need to go to bed on time, and I was already following the plan that I had made for my day, and I was being disciplined, and discipline begets discipline. But the biggest thing that I would say that I changed is, and I learned this when I was on the run, when I was going, I did 2 laps around my neighborhood. And when I got to the second lap, I was gassed. It was so hot. I felt like I was going to throw up. My legs were totally dead. I've been running a really long time. It was kind of embarrassing. But as I started that second one, I was like, I don't think I got this. And then I would like turn these corners, and you could kind of see all the way down to the next turn. And I was like, oh man, that's far away. I don't know if I can do that. And then what I just started to pray is what Desmond Doss prayed in Hacksaw Ridge, where he's just like, Lord, help me get one more, just one more. Help me to go one more step. Help me to go one more block. Help me to go one more house. Help me to go one more turn. Help me to go one more lap. That's it. All I need to do is one. Just help me in this next step. And I realize that that is so transferable to this battle. Because like, one thing that made me burn out is I had set a goal for 100 days of doing this really strict discipline regiment. And I was burnt. Day 70, I was like, I am so sick and tired of this. And I like, the enemy got me again with the telescope. He got me again thinking ahead and be like, I don't think I got that. And so this time around, I've just been like, no. God, just help me to do today. Help me to be disciplined today. Help me to get through my checklist today. Help me to check in. Help me to read the Bible. Help me to wake up on time. Help me to read what I need to read. Help me to do my exercises. Help me to be disciplined today. Just help me to have victory today. And tomorrow will take care of itself. And I mean, that's biblical too. But just that little mindset change makes it so much easier to go about it simply, which is honestly all we need to do, is just to make it simple. Make the fight simple for yourself. Why overcomplicate it? Like, no, I don't need to be watching TV every day when I get home from work. It doesn't help me with anything. It only makes my battle worse. Yes, I need to be waking up at the same time every day. It's helpful for my brain. It's helpful for my circadian rhythm. It's helpful for everything. Yes, I need to be reading spiritually edifying things because I fill my mind with other nonsense all throughout the day. It's good to fill it with good things. It's good to journal every night. It's good to exercise and burn those things off. And just making victory easy has been so, so helpful for me. It's been helpful every time that I had victory in the past, and it's helpful right now. And I encourage you to start doing it. But I just want to end on this. I've been really convicted by this today. A couple realizations in the last 24 hours. The first one is, I was reading a devotional on Moses and Jonah. And, you know, like when Moses is first called in the burning bush, you know, God starts talking to him, and it's this crazy moment, right? And God is telling him all these things. And what does Moses say? He's like, are you sure? You sure you want me to go? And he makes all of these excuses in a row. I mean, it's crazy. Go read. I think it's Exodus 4. It's like he's trying his hardest to get out of it and to be like, God, no, this is absurd. And finally, at the very end, Moses finally just says it. He's like, God, please send someone else. I can't do it. I don't have the power. You know, I have a stutter. I have all these problems. I'm not powerful enough. I can't go into that court. Everyone knows me there. They're going to kill me. Everyone who wanted to kill me before is still there. And he made all of these excuses. And finally, God basically says, I'm not asking. And I don't know why this took me so long. I mean, I've read that passage, I don't know how many times, but I never caught that really. I mean, later on, God wants to kill Moses because he refuses to go. And I don't know how I missed that, but God wasn't asking. I mean, same thing for the story of Jonah. Jonah is like, no, I'm not going to Nineveh. Why would I go to Nineveh? I don't want anything to do with that. And God traps him in a whale and delivers him in the belly of a whale to Nineveh. God wasn't asking. He is calling. And that is not something that you can reject or walk away from or ignore. No, no, no. You have two choices. You can either go kicking and screaming, or you can go with your nose to the sunrise. And that's where the second realization I have came from. Is I don't know who was talking about this. Probably a sermon I was listening to. But in C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia, there's this really powerful moment where this little mouse, you know, they're on this journey and they get to a point on this journey where they're like, I don't think we can keep going. Like, should we turn back? They have an honest conversation with everyone. Like, should we turn back? And the little mouse has this great quote. I just want to read it to you. He says, my own plans are made. While I can't, I sail east in the Dawn Treader. When she fails me, I paddle east in my coracle. When she sinks, I shall swim east with my four paws. And when I can swim no longer, if I have not reached Aslan's country or shot over the edge of the world into some vast cataract, I shall sink with my nose to the sunrise. Man, that gets me fired up. I love that. I shall sink with my nose to the sunrise. I will not be deterred in the mission that I have been given. I have a destination that I have been called to, and I am going to get there whatever it takes. And if I don't, then I am going to die with my nose pointed that direction. I am going to die with my face to the sunrise because, gosh darn it, I will not be deterred. I love that. This is how we need to think about this battle. God isn't asking. You can either go towards freedom kicking and screaming, or you can do it with your nose to the sunrise. You can do it with everything you have. Point your ships east and do whatever it takes. Paddle if you have to. Swim if you have to. Even if you don't have any strength left in your body, you finish. Your last breath, your last thing that you see in your life will be the direction that you have been called to go. This is how I want to live my life. This is what I want to do. I don't want to shrink back anymore. I want to die, if I must, with my nose to the sunrise. Because there is no more noble calling than freedom. There is no more noble task ahead of us than fighting for something that has completely consumed our lives, that will threaten to ruin everything God has called us to. There is no more noble task than to fight the good fight. Because this right here is not only where freedom is won, is not only where victory is won, but it's where faith is won. This is where God is trying to shape you into the man that he created you to be. He gave you this not as a curse. He allowed this in your life, not as something to hold you back, but something to sharpen you as a refining fire to make you into who he needed you to be. This is a blessing in a way. And for me, that's been so hard to accept. I've been bitter. I've been angry. I've thrown off responsibility because I'm mad. I'm mad at God. Why would you let me deal with this? I see my friends who don't have to deal with this, and I don't understand why they get a clean pass. They can go live their life however they want. They don't have to worry about this when they get married later in life. They don't have to deal with this terrible, terrible sin. But then God reminds me. He reminds me that the refining fire is hot, but the result is purified steel. The result is something greater than what entered it in the first place. And that is what God has offered to you and me today. This is a refining fire. Yes, it is a cancer. Yes, it is a terrible thing. Yes, no one wants to deal with it, but it will make you a better man. If you choose to fight no matter what it takes, to sail east at all costs, to make up your mind, to paddle, to swim, to sink if you must, but to point your nose to the sunrise and do whatever it takes to have victory because God called you to it. He calls you to it, and you will be a better man for it. If you can get through this a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20, 50, at the end of your life, you'll be sitting on your deathbed looking back at this moment right now, today, as this is the moment you could change your life. This is the moment you did change your life. You chose, you made a decision. I'm not going kicking and screaming. God has called me and he's not asking. This is an obligation that I've been given and I am going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to fight with everything I have. And I'm going to die if I must with my nose to the sunrise. This is where I'm trying to get myself. And man, I really got fired up right there. But just is like encouraging as it is to read that and to have that visual of like, yes, this is how I want to live my life. The truth is that it's done in the little things. It's done in the sailing. It's done in the paddling. It's done in the swimming. It's done in every single step that you take. It's the little choices. Because at the end of the day, the life of purity, the life of freedom, the life of victory, the life God calls you to live is just a compilation of good choices. It's just stacking victory after victory after victory. It is just one day of good choices, followed by another day of good choices, followed by another day of good choices until you find yourself in victory. Not because you had one massive moment of huge effort, but because you did the little things right every single day. And that's what God is calling us to. Look, we're in this together. I'm not some oracle who's figured it out. I'm just as vulnerable as you are. I'm a brother in arms, but I have decided to make it to freedom or to sink with my nose to the sunrise. And I am encouraging you today to make that decision too, because together we can have victory. If we can be fully open, fully vulnerable, fully weak, we can be strong in Christ. God can come and step in and do what we cannot do ourselves. He can be the power source. He can be the strength. He can be the freedom and the victory. But we have to let it go. We have to completely come to the end of ourselves and say, you know what, God? I don't have it. I don't have it. And I'm sick of pretending that I do. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with myself, and I'm going to be honest with my brothers. So today, please do that. Please be honest with God. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with your brothers. And make the commitment with me, because I refuse to give up. And I will sail east because I have made up my mind. And if my ship sinks, then I will paddle in a slip. And if my slip sinks, then I will swim with my arms and my legs. And if my strength fails me, which I'm sure it will, then I will sink with my nose to the sunrise, confident that Jesus will take me the rest of the way, because I have been on mission with what he called me to do. And God does not leave us high and dry. He will deliver us. Praise God.